look who's there. Look who's there. People said, like, how do you bring all of these people in? And I'm like, why wouldn't they be here?
Jimmy Rodriguez is here with us again. He's the visionary behind legendary restaurants like the original Jimmy's Bronx Cafe, Concerfrito, Don Coqui, and now Soul Bro Garden. He has been a major player in shaping the New York City dining and entertainment scene for over 4 decades. Tell us one of your favorite Jimmy stories that people would be surprised to hear about.
Funniest story in the world. Stevie Wonder. This is one of the coolest stories.
I know you touched on throwing Prince out of your Harlem nightclub one time.
So this is my section. You're not welcome here now. You gotta leave. I give you a great story. A private concert at Jimmy's Bronx Cafe hosted by David Bowie. I was like, but let's also talk about the Kardashian party.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
That one is a memorable experience.
Welcome to another episode of the Real Mentors Podcast. As always, REAL stands for Real Examples Altering Lives. I am your host, Sean Martin, and I'm here today again with our guest, the one and only Jimmy Rodriguez. How are you today, brother?
I'm great. How you doing today?
I'm excellent. We did this dance before, but it came out so good that we decided that it needed to be done again and on location, no less. So
I'm excited.
I'm excited to be back with you. Wanted to take a little bit of a different approach this time. We've learned a lot about your journey to get to, you know, the entrepreneur success that you found in the restaurant business here in New York and, you know, more specifically the Bronx with Jimmy's Cafe at first and then Don Coqui and Sofrito and all the brands that you've built over the years. You continue to reinvent yourself. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that formula. Because it's something that you seem to have down pat at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you get up every day, you take the shot, and it's different positions on the court. So you could be right under the hoop, and you could take a three-pointer, and you could take it from the foul line. But every day is a challenge to take that shot and hit it.
Most importantly, you're taking the shots.
That's it. The only shot that you're going to regret is the one that you don't take in life.
Absolutely. There's only learning. There's no losses.
Never.
What does that formula look like at this point in your career that you've eliminated a lot of those losses or those delays, let's just call them, instead of mistakes?
Well, each day is a learning experience. I wake up every day saying, you know, 10 A's a day. You know, when you wake up every day knowing that you're going to have to overcome situations versus today it's sunny, today is beautiful, today's going to be easy. I'm like, no. What are you going to hit me with today? What challenges am I going to have to overcome today that I didn't have to overcome yesterday? I mean, one of the examples is, you know, growing up, going to motor vehicles was the worst experience in the world because you knew whoever you dealt with was like not having a nice day because she had to deal or he had to deal with all of these problems. So I'd wake up every day walking in knowing that I'm going to make your day. You're not going to ruin mine. So I'm walking in with this positive attitude to make sure that I'm going to be able to overcome this. So when you look at, I got to deal with 10 obstacles a day, 10 assholes a day, 10 situations a day, then your spirit will never be down. I mean, like you wake up and I wake up in the morning every day. I'm like, okay, let me see what text I have to deal with. What's new on the horizon? And even it could be something that is troubling. I'm like, well, you know, it's not going to be sunny every day in life. And when you take that look on life, it makes it easier for you to be able to overcome things in life. I had a situation the other day where a friend of mine, he came to me and he says, you know, my dog just died 6 months ago. I'm like, it's okay. He's like, tell me why it's okay. And I sat there and I'm like, why did God take my puppy away 6 months, you know, later? And I'm like, I didn't have the answer. And then the next day we were talking and I says, how about if you take that experience that you just went through in pain and take McCoy, which his dog's name was McCoy, and think about creating a doggy park. So this doesn't happen to another 100 McCoys. So now he's pursuing creating a dog park. So sometimes we don't find the answer. But it's there. Sometimes we don't understand why God changes our path, why we have to, you know, we wake up, I wake up every day, it's like, this is my course. But then in my back of my head, I'm like, well, okay, that's my course. But God, what do you have planned for me? What is your purpose for me today in someone's life?
What could you say to someone out there who's looking to cut their teeth in the restaurant business, who maybe doesn't have the wins, doesn't have the experience or the knowledge? Where can they put themselves in a position to win, or at least start to take the steps toward winning?
You know, for me, it's not the restaurant business, it's hospitality. So when you want to get into hospitality, you have to understand, and I express this to my team, you know, that there is no I in team. And you have to turn around and put together a team that believes in the goal and where you want to go. And that's important. So, you know, I had a phone call yesterday where someone wanted me to help them find an individual to develop a concept restaurant sports bar. And I was like, I can give you the advice, but if you don't listen, you're going to have a problem. Right. So I can find you an individual, but what you're looking for is more than just an individual. You're looking for a group of people to help you climb this mountain. Like, you can't climb a mountain without the gear, with the navigation, with someone with experience. Just one person is not just a fit.
So let's break that down. In a successful hospitality situation, yeah, let's just use a restaurant slash lounge for this example. Who are the most important people, and how do we kind of construct that? Who would you say are essential first and foremost, and then work our way back from that?
I mean, for me, it's like the dishwasher, the busboy, the waiter, the host, the barback, the line cook, the host, the assistant. I mean, there is no, I mean, the finger, the thumb.
I think any good team needs a good leader.
Yeah.
And I know you're being humble right now, but you're the leader in these particular, you know, setups that you have.
Yes.
What would you say are the hallmarks of being a good leader?
Well, I mean, you have to wake up believing that what you're trying to achieve is attainable. Because if you look at things in life as unattainable, that's the first mistake you make in life. You know, people will graduate or from high school and college and, you know, they'll get a job. Right. And that job is, you know, the payment for you not pursuing your dream. Because if you do really pursue your dream and you fail, then what? But at least you have this income, so you don't have to worry about, you have a 401, you have a pension, you have, you know, somebody's dream. They're going to be able to afford their dream on your back. I've been fortunate enough to be around, you know, many young men and women that are now leaders in our community because they never gave up on their dream. And that's very important. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. My compadre, Eddie Caban, they buried him at one point because he was a rising star in the police department. And they buried him in Queens. And they left him there for 10, 11 years. And I saw all the guys in the circle go above and beyond him, from captain, deputy inspector, inspector, one-star chief, two-star chief, and he was stuck in Brooklyn. And, you know, Eric became the man. All of a sudden, he became the first deputy commissioner, the first police commissioner. So while people, you know, looked at him for all of those years and didn't see this star, he became the number one in the police department. But he was a leader, and he believed that he was going to be given an opportunity to be a star, and he winded up being the number one star in the police department. I remember back then, some 20 years ago, when he was suing the police department for discrimination. And he had that belief in him that he had to sue the police department because of the practices that they had. And now he runs the biggest city in the world. But, you know, sometimes, you know, there's a lot of people that believe that could be the next mayor and the police commissioner, and that could be your dream and belief, but then God might have a different purpose, you know, just through your journey in life. Where I was one time with four restaurants and 400 people working with me, running the largest Latin restaurant nightclub in the country, to, you know, post-COVID, creating different avenues and journeys and realizing that what I did then worked then. What I'm doing now is a different way of approaching hospitality, entertainment, and restaurant. But that wouldn't have happened if I didn't go through COVID. And everybody had to learn how to reinvent themselves during COVID. I remember one day getting a summons for someone putting a straw in a drink. Unheard of. So you spend your whole life letting people know that they can't take out a drink to go. And then COVID, you can't have a sip of a cocktail inside while you're waiting for your food to go. How did that make any sense to anybody? But those are things that we all had to learn how to overcome, which was crazy. I mean, crazy.
What does COVID look like for you in the restaurant business, both before, during, and now after?
Being told that you're going to shut down the whole industry, very challenging, because it's something that was unheard of in the world.
Right.
You're talking about Broadway, you're talking about theater, you're talking about restaurants, catering halls, weddings, limos. I mean, shut down the whole industry and everybody had to learn how to re-pivot. A lot of people took advantage of the COVID, of the money and the situations, but then they had to come afterwards and now COVID is over. Now you have to reposition yourself. So people had to change their life, their lifestyle, what they were accustomed to. And there's new behaviors. The new generation post-COVID acts much different than pre-COVID. There's a lot of interesting learning experiences that I have because of COVID that I see which way the restaurant industry is going.
What would you say were some of the good things that came as a result of COVID for the restaurant business, you know, here in New York City?
For me personally, I mean, not just New York City, you had to refocus. And now you have all the time in the world.
Right. That's what's good.
Now you start appreciating your family, appreciating moments. You couldn't go out, so to speak, and be in other places. So you had to figure out a new lifestyle. I mean, the whole world had to change. So I spent a lot of time with family and ideas and spending quality time together and going through it together. Like, that was very interesting. A lot of new experiences, a lot of new acquaintances. But, you know, to overcome the challenges that God brings into your life, that's interesting. Because if you don't quit, you'll always be in the game. You know, the only ones that are not in the games are the ones that quit.
Have you continued some of those adjustments after COVID and things got normal again?
I spend more time with the family, but I'm also focusing on what's God's plan for me. Like, it's not like, you know, you get to a certain point of life, it's like, when is it that you slow down or you stop? And I'm like, I'm just getting started. I'm just excited about, you know, my next journeys in life, you know?
You've been doing this for the better part of almost 40 years now?
40 plus.
As a leader, your dreams have to be big enough for other people on your team's dreams to fit inside of them.
Correct.
What does that dream look like now for Jimmy? What does the future look like now? How is it different than the things you've done in the past?
Letting go. Letting go in a sense where I'm able to now assemble a team of assistants that could help other restaurateurs and other people in hospitality grow their dream. So now for me to sit back and be able to create a formula, which is it's in the works right now, and being able to help other people build their dreams through the knowledge and experience that we bring to the table as a team.
Now, you've got over 40 years of experience yourself. Then you've got people on your team that have got decades combined experience as well. How are you now presenting this? Because I know you do consulting on the side. So if you want to be in the hospitality business in any way, shape, or form, wouldn't it be just much more sensible to come to someone like Jimmy and his team and actually have them walk you through the process so that you're less likely to fail and more inclined to succeed? I know that's something you're doing now, you're passionate about, and you're leveling up other entrepreneurs by giving them your knowledge and eliminating a lot of the mistakes, or excuse me, the learning experiences that you've had yourself along the way.
And they're very expensive.
Very expensive.
So what happens is a lot of times, you know, someone will come to me and says, hey, I love hospitality. I love the bar. I love the restaurant. I want to open up a restaurant. And I'm like, okay, have you found a location? You know, have you negotiated a lease? And those are little steps that they need to know how to overcome. Or other ones are like, hey, you know, I have this restaurant and it's not doing as well. Or I have a restaurant that's doing well and I know it could do better. And then you come in and you analyze from, you know, the purchases, the front of the house, the reservation system, and everything is changing now. So you have to teach yourself what's happening, what's new, what works, what doesn't work from an outsider, and then walk into an establishment and says, well, let me look at A, B, and C. And it says, well, this needs improvement. This needs improvement. This is, well, this is how you build on it. So you become an analyst. You come in and you become almost like the teacher. I give you a test and you score the test, and this is where you can improve. I'm like the biggest student of the world. Like I walk in and I want to study you. I want to see what you're doing. I want to see what's happening in the neighborhood. I want to see what's happening in, you know, during a season. So I have to look at 2023, but not live in 2023. I have to look at, that's what happened then. What's the trend now? What's working? What are people seeing that makes sense? I mean, there's so many little things that I've learned post-COVID that I come and I share with other restaurateurs that is going to help them be more successful.
What are some of the trends you're seeing in the restaurant business now? I know, takeout's a bigger component than it used to be prior to COVID. What other things are you seeing restaurants benefit from that wasn't even a thing, you know, when you started or even 7 years ago?
Social media. Social media is one way, if presented properly, can put you in a different position, but that's just one component. I mean, it's like the sauce without the salt, without the pepper. But I mean, there's a lot of ingredients right now that need to be put together to make it work. You know, one of the biggest problems that most people in business, not just restaurant, you have to have a foundation. People don't take the foundation and look at it as important without realizing you can't build without one.
Right.
You can't build without a foundation. So at the end of the day, you want to do a skyscraper. What are you building it on? You know, in the restaurant industry, you build, you think that they're going to come tomorrow and the next day. No, there's a foundation. There is an idea. There's a concept behind hospitality, behind being a good lawyer, behind being a great chef. I mean, every industry is so unique, but important. Without a foundation, you have a real serious problem. And, you know, you have to have a blueprint. You have to have a plan. You know, you just can't go out without a plan and expect it to succeed. You can't. It's impossible.
How long would you say between you having an idea and you opening the doors to a place, now that you've got it down to science?
No, I don't. Not yet.
You're always learning. I take that back. And I appreciate the humility. What would you say is a reasonable timeline for someone to open up a restaurant?
Okay. So how long does it take to do the foundation? How much digging do you have? How far down you have to go? Right. So in other words, it all depends how big you want it to be. Are you building a one operation? Are you looking to do a franchise? Do you want it to go global? There's a lot of questions to ask. So, I mean, when you say a generic question like that, it's like somebody called me the other day, says, I want to do a party. And I'm like, what's the price? And I'm like, well, it's like a Mercedes and a Volkswagen. What do you want?
Right. You got to tell me more.
Tell me which vehicle you want to drive. Right. So when you look at a restaurant, yeah, you have the money to buy the vehicle. What's the purpose? What are you using the vehicle for? Right. For leisure, for work? You want to look pretty, you want to collect a car. So when you're opening up a restaurant, is it because you're passionate and you want to invest in the restaurant? So a lot of people's like, I want to invest in a restaurant. I says, why don't you come and work for 6 months or 3 months and see if this is something that you want to do before you put the money out there and you're like, holy smokes, I didn't realize, you know, you had to put so much into the foundation to make it work. You know, they think instant glorification is what's going to make it work. It doesn't.
It looks sexy when they come in to visit your place and the music's pumping and the drinks are flowing and the food is great and hot and tasty, but they don't see all the things.
They don't realize what goes into that first person that you see at the door come in and make that smile. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, it's easy to get them in.
Right.
This is the easiest industry to promote and get people in. The hardest is to keep them.
Right.
I look at it, my approach is, I don't want to be your favorite restaurant. I want to be one of your 5 to 10 favorite restaurants, because that means you're going to come back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to leave an impression and a reason for people to come back. And there's no shortcuts in your delivery in any and every business. You know, restaurant, hospitality, events, you know, all of them intertwine, even like an order to go. I mean, it's all in presentation, packaging, marketing, logo, identity, branding. There's so many things that go into making a successful business.
Tell us one of your favorite Jimmy stories, even though you are Jimmy. Something that I guess the people would be surprised to hear about.
Doing Tito Puente's 60th birthday party. I mean, he was so adamant about not doing his birthday party because he felt that, you know, as iconic as the man was, a global figure, and we're sitting down and your birthday's coming up. And I'm like, okay, let's do this birthday. He's like, no. And I'm like, but why? He's like, well, I'm going to leave people out and then I'm going to hear about it the next day. So I was like, okay, let's blame it on Margie. Let's make it a surprise birthday party. Your wife threw it for you. So she was in charge of the list. And it worked. And it was like one memorable night where the Yankees came and a lot of celebrities from all over came. And we were able to have the Yankees allow him to throw out the first pitch. So that was so memorable and exciting for me to have Tito, you know, celebrate his birthday. Well, I mean, legends, Celia Cruz, I mean, Mark Anthony, we've had everybody. Bill Cosby came. We had a lot of people. I mean, there was...
So this is old Jimmy's Bronx.
That was Jimmy's Bronx. I did Derek Jeter's 30th birthday party.
Wow.
And that was exciting because that was another star-studded event. I mean, we did so many parties. Fidel Castro visiting the Bronx Cafe. Right. That was a world leader, you know. So you love him or hate him.
Right. And listen, you mentioned Bill Cosby. You mentioned Diddy. These are all people that were very admired until they weren't. So, you know, I love the fact that you don't really shy away from any of that. Because, you know, if you mention them in context of when you hosted them versus now, it's two completely different things. Because people on the internet love to... They just love bochinche. They love gossip. They love to tear things down.
David Bowie.
David Bowie.
He did a concert at Jimmy's Bronx Cafe. And, you know, that was probably one of the events that I miss and regret not going to because I was so busy between all the restaurants and I had other events going on that I couldn't make a private concert at Jimmy's Bronx Cafe hosted by David Bowie. I was like...
And there's actual recording of that.
Yes.
Online. Funny story off camera, prior to doing the interview, I was requesting some old footage because if you look you up, you were a lot of internet craze days. You were pre-social media. So as a Bronx kid, we know who you are. People in New York City know everything about Jimmy's Bronx Cafe. The name is very popular. But if you went on the internet, as my young editor told me, he's like, well, the internet would think differently of you. And I fucking thought it was hilarious because if it's not on the internet, it pretty much doesn't exist for this young generation.
Correct.
Which is unfortunate because they don't get to hear these stories told other than, you know, maybe let's say the highlight reel of a story.
You have to understand, over 40 years, I've created memorable brands that a lot of people don't even know that in one way, shape, or another in the Hispanic community, and I say Hispanic because Puerto Rican, Dominican, and all across the board, someone, some way, some shape or form, they visited one of my babies.
Right.
So from Jimmy's, we did Sofrito on 57th Street.
Right.
Jimmy's downtown, which became Sofrito. And I remember doing Carlos Beltran's 30th birthday party. And J-Lo and Mark Anthony and a lot of people came. It was very private on a Sunday. And that was very memorable. And that was, I think, the first high-end Puerto Rican restaurant in New York City.
Right.
And I remember when opening up Sofrito, and I said, Sofrito, Puerto Rican cuisine. And I believe a Jewish lady who came over, and she said, why don't you call it Spanish? And I was like, how do I explain to this woman that we don't go to white restaurants? So so my response was, well, the reason why I call it Puerto Rican is because when we go to Italian restaurant, that's what we call it. We call it Italian, French, German, Irish.
Right.
They're individual. When you say Spanish, that's an asopao. You just throw everything in. We're not asopao. We have our own identity. We're proud of our culture. Yes, we could say Caribbean, like Puerto Rico, Santo Domingo, and Cuba, which were like one bird with the same wings, like right. together. That's close. But it's right. I wanted it to be Puerto Rican because I wanted our community to have a place that we can call our own. And then Sofrito was, if you know what sofrito is, it's garlic, peppers, onions, cilantro, culantro. You make right. that the base.
That's our base for pretty much everything.
Everything, right? So it winded up where we had Michael Jordan come for dinner. We had Martha Stewart come. I did Matthew Broderick's 30th birthday, Sarah Jessica Parker, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Willie Mays. And people said, like, how do you bring all of these people in? And I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, what you do doesn't define you, but you're all looking for a place where you can unwind and be amongst family and friends. And I've always been able to create places where people are sitting having it at awe, like, look who's there, look who's there. And I'm like, but why wouldn't they be here? Like, I mean, Stevie Wonder, funniest story in the world. This is one of the coolest stories. Like, so Stevie Wonder would come all the time. At the time, Kedar Massenburg was the president of Motown, and Kedar, great guy, he would bring Stevie when he was in town, and he would come. And I remember one day, we had this table called A1. That was the first table that was sitting there, and Stevie Wonder was sitting there, and it was me and Steve and a couple of other people. And we had this young lady, her name was Nancy, and we used to laugh because Nancy was coolest. So Nancy had this thing, and I would tell Nancy, say hello to my friends. And she would go to grab their hand and grab something else. And it would embarrass. I mean, it was just something that would happen sporadically once in a blue moon. And one day, Steve is sitting there, and I says, Nancy, I'd like you to say hello to my friend Stevie. So she comes and she slides next to him. She does one of gestures, and Stevie goes, I like your friend. I like your friend. And that was like one crazy story that we always remember.
I know you touched on throwing prints out of your Harlem nightclub one time. And I wanted to know a little bit more about that, if you don't mind.
Prince had a record release at Jimmy's Uptown, and I had a private section. And, you know, I had allowed him to go into that private section. And I was with a couple of my friends, Robert Isabel and Norma Kamali, which is one of the most talented fashion icons in the world. And I went into the VIP, which I allowed him to use. And they said, I'd like to introduce my friend to Prince. And they says, oh, no. And I'm like, what do you mean no? It's like, no. I'm like, well, you guys got to leave then. What do you mean you got to leave? I said, this is my section. You're not welcome here now. You got to leave. And it's like, well, and it's three of them. And I'm like, call the boys. It's 14 of us. We're leaving the nice way. We're going out the window. I don't care. Second floor. You figure out how we're doing. We're here. This is my house. I mean, and it's fortunate because, you know, sometimes people take the different approach where they think they're untouchable or not human. I've seen, you know, some players that are just believe that they're unapproachable or they're better than someone until they're no longer a celebrity and a star. And then all of a sudden, they're thirsting for this type of attention.
Right.
So, you know, that's an unfortunate situation that I've seen. But I'll give you, so one day I'm at City Island. So from Jimmy's, which was Fordham, Jimmy's Uptown, Downtown, City Island, Bronx Cafe. Then we did Sofrito. And then from Sofrito, which became the place to be, to go, to be seen, to enjoy, to have a great time, to have dinner. We did catering. We did, you name it, we did it there. We did Don Coquí. Don Coquí New Rochelle, Don Coquí City Island, Don Coquí Astoria, Don Coquí White Plains, Don Coquí Dykeman. So in one way, shape, form, another, a lot of people have experienced one of my new adventures that I've created and moments and experiences for people to have wonderful times. And I always like to be in the background just watching them once they launch, just to maintain them.
Right.
To make sure everybody within the team understands the concept behind what we're developing and what we're trying to do. And we did that. I did that with both my daughters and my son. And they were a great part of this because, you know, one was in charge of hospitality. One was in charge of marketing. My son was part of the hospitality group. So one way, shape, or form, we had the whole family in. And it was amazing. But one of the challenges that I saw is that, you know, you have to have a good team of partnerships that make sense in order for the business to be successful. You know, and I've had a couple of people that believe it's easy, but they don't understand. You can build it, but building it is half the battle. Maintaining it is the biggest challenge.
If you go to a Jimmy place, you're going to meet Jimmy. Jimmy's going to come over. How's everything? They'll shake your hand. Send over a drink if it calls for it. You've been ever present. Even today, you are always here. You're always watching. You're always welcoming. You are always helping create that experience. As opposed to a lot of people maybe at this point in their careers, which would just kind of let it be and hope that it works itself out.
Yeah.
Now, why is that? Obviously,
I have a bigger plan. And the bigger plan is learning the concept that's being developed to be able to roll it out to be a successful brand that you can take anywhere. So for me, it's like, well, what am I doing now at this point in my life? I'm building a new home. I'm building a new foundation. I'm building a new concept based on the information that I'm gathering every single day on patterns and behaviors and challenges. Again, 10 A's a day. I deal with 10 problems a day with a smile because I see it coming.
Right.
So you can't damper, you can't get me upset, you know, with a challenge in a situation. The other day I walk over, I have a situation where someone has a problem and I'm dealing with a couple of police officers, young police officers that, you know, that could be my son. And I reach over to them and I says, my name is Jimmy. What's your name? And he goes, Jay. And he points to his badge. And I mean, like Jay, like J-A-Y. He knows the letter J. And I look at him like with disappointment. And I go over to his partner and I'm like, and what's your name? H. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. You have your cameras on, right? That's cool. I said, I'm happy you have your cameras on because community policing is obviously a course you guys didn't take.
Right.
You understand? Because I'm here just introducing myself and then you understand why the community sometimes doesn't have that relationship and rapport. So, you know, you know, it's just unfortunate that, you know, those are one of the situations that I shake my head like, when are these things going to change? When are these young men and women going to have more mentors or people in their life and says, smack them in the head? That's not how we do things. You know, right. Young man, young woman, that's not how the thing goes.
And I think the story you just told was a reflection of the culture that we're in now, which is the experience that you're selling has changed dramatically because someone's going to be on their phone over dinner versus engaging with the other two, three, or four people at the table or 10, depending how big the party is.
But that's okay. You have to overcome. Like, right. In other words, you know, I tell people, we don't live in that plastic bubble no more. This is a new one. Right. This is a new group of people, a new way of living. So I look at it as a new challenge.
Right.
You know, my grandson is here the other day and he's eating, but he's not eating. He's playing on his whatever gadget. And I grab the gadget. And he looks at me, finish eating and you get it back. End of story. And he's like, and I walk away
with my daughter.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, it's like, you know what? If it's what you allow.
Right. What you tolerate.
So for me, I'm zero tolerance in the sense that it's going to happen, but it's not going to affect me.
Right.
I'm going to, you know, build a team of people that I'm going to turn around. And I had an experience with one of the people we work with. And it's like my customers, let's get this straight. Our guests.
Right.
Not yours.
Right.
Our team.
Right.
So in other words, I have to turn around and says, okay, how do we develop, you know, a different mindset and mentality? And you know what? Keep saying that and we're going to keep correcting it. And as we correct these things, that's going to make the difference.
You also mentioned your family being involved with the business operations to some degree. Is that something that you foresee? Are they gonna take up the mantle? Is your family heavily involved in the family business, or is they've kind of gone their own way and just help out?
Well, now my son is opening up something in the near future.
Okay.
With Opera Steve. So I'm helping and guiding them opening up a new place. So right now I'm consulting and helping them develop concepts. So if I can, when I develop the concept for them, that is something that they don't have to do the legwork because I'll do the foundation work.
Right.
I'll create the structure and then just teach them how to continue doing what needs to be done moving forward. Right. Because, you know, what I did in the past serves as a foundation, but what people want today is different than the salsa nights, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, the big bands. There is no big bands.
Right.
What's the new wave of music? You know, there's no merengue, bachata, cumbia. That's a thing of the past. So now what's the new music? What's the new lifestyle? What are the new kids, young men and women looking for?
You mentioned, you know, the consulting part with your sons and Opera Steve, shout out to Opera Steve, to their venture. You're essentially mentoring them.
Yeah.
And that's what the show's all about. And I don't want people to get it twisted. You can be paid for your expertise. And I think people are hesitant to pay or be part of some kind of mentorship program that costs them money. And you put it beautifully before. You said, yeah, but you know how expensive it is to learn on your own? Those mistakes cost fucking money, like a lot of money.
I give you a great story. So about a year ago, I'm at a dinner at a beautiful restaurant in Brooklyn with a group of us, right? So we're sitting at this beautiful table and everything is happening. And I'm like, the lighting is wrong. It doesn't feel good. The music is wrong. So, you know, I approached the owners. They're sitting at the table with us, right? And I'm like, okay, who does this? Can you ask him, come here? Ask him to do this. Tell the DJ to come here. Tell him to do this. And then I tell the DJ, okay, this is what I like you to do because this doesn't feel right.
Right.
But I explained to him and them and all of them what should be because I'm here and I want to take this experience to the next level. I want this to be a memorable in a good way, not a bad way. So, you know, I love going out and giving people free advice, which I'm not doing no more. Now, like, listen, that freebie shit is over. So I walk around. I says, let me, give me a tour of your operation. I says, okay, this is wrong.
Same restaurant, right?
Yeah, this is wrong. This is wrong. You should do this. You should do that. And then, you know, husband and wife and the son. And Viva Toro in Brooklyn. All right. So that's now you know where it is. So I go to them. I'm like, da 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 da. You know, thank you. You know, we shouldn't be waiting this much for drinks. Get the drinks. Get a bottle. Do just, let's get this moving. Let's go. Let's go. So I left. Beautiful night. Everybody had a great time. 6 months later, and they come, you know, we run into each other at the restaurant, another restaurant, Con Sofrito. And they come over to me and they're like, thank you so much for all the advice that you gave us. And I said to them, what do you think I said to them?
You tell me, because I got all kinds of fucking crazy smart ass responses.
Go ahead, give me one. What do you think I told him back in response?
I don't know. Where's the check? How much did I save you? How much did I make you?
I says, they said, we made so much money because of your ideas. And I said to them, that was free. Imagine if you paid me, how much more money you could make. Because that was just bing, bing, bing,
me quick. Dinner, right.
You know, like I'm feedback. Like I'm feeding, like in other words. So what I do is I come in and I analyze real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4. Like in other words, I analyze myself every day. How do I build little pieces that are consistent? Not whether we're right or wrong. Tomorrow, let's not make that mistake.
Right.
The lighting, the sound, the right music. I mean, you go into a Mexican restaurant. It's half the population, half the people in the restaurant are white. The other percent are Puerto Rican, black, and other. There's not one Mexican restaurant in the restaurant. And you got to sit there for 2 hours of loud Mexican music.
Right.
You walk into a diner. It feels like a diner because it's overlit. Right. You know, so there's diners, dinosaur, that's a thing of the past. You know, there's a lot of things are different. So you have to turn around and put yourself in a position. It's what is going to make you stand out in life? Why are you different? Look at Bad Bunny, biggest artist in the world. One day working in a supermarket, packing bags, right. And now broke every barrier and challenge in the world, you know, by being different, special. You know, so you never know where God is going to bring you, but you also have to wake up and inspire and take people in your circle and nudge them to be better and help them to be better in any and every industry. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, that is, I believe, what our responsibility is as mentors.
Right.
You know, you get to a certain point where you see somebody doing wrong. Hey, come here. Don't do that because of XYZ. I did that already. I'm not scolding. I did that already. I did that last night with a young lady. I'm like, not good. And then I have a phone call with her this morning. It's like, I'm sorry. It's okay. Just remember, those situations have a consequence. And this is what happened because of those consequences. So, you know, for me, it's like I look at the challenges again, 10 days a day. That's why I look at everything and nothing bothers me. I like, honestly, nothing bothers me.
I want to circle back to getting paid for your expertise. Because I think in our community, I speak to, you know, brown community, Latino, black, you know, poverty is pretty prevalent. And there is a scarcity mindset where there's not enough. So, you know, Jimmy should be giving me this advice
if you want free.
The price to have you come in and consult on someone's dream, a restaurant, let's just say, may be in the tens of thousands of dollars. But the value that you are going to bring, the mistakes that you're going to allow them to skip over are worth every penny. But unfortunately, when we're coming from a mindset where, oh, why is he charging so much versus what value he's adding, we're shooting ourselves in the foot.
Well, then again, is also the approach. Because for me, it's like, if I can show you that I'm going to save you 10 grand.
Right.
And I could document it.
Right.
And you give me $2,500, you're up $7,500.
Correct.
So
at the end of the day, the mentality.
No, that's the only way it works. Because for me is when I tell somebody, this is what I'm going to show. First of all, let me gather your information. You're going to lose this much here. You're going to lose this much here. You're going to lose this much here. You're not safe. Like, I can show you black and white. It's not like, well, I can. No, no, no.
Right.
Well, I can just show you, like, I went to Long Island a year ago. A guy wanted to open up a restaurant. I'm like, you know, I'll do you the favor just one time, but I normally get $1,500 just to go and come.
Right.
And you know what? After an hour and a half, 2 hours, he slid and he said, here's $1,000 for you. And I was surprised. He's like, you were well worth every penny you wanted.
Right.
Because what you just saved me.
Right.
Through dialogue. Because I don't, listen, talk is cheap. Like, but right. If I can show you why this doesn't and how much you can save because of it. But sometimes, you know, people are, this is like a lawyer. Listen, I need a $25,000 retainer. Go get somebody else. A doctor. Go get somebody else.
Right.
I mean, if you're in need. Right.
And that's what it is. And I want to hammer home that point because this is the Real Mentors podcast and you're not going to make it to the promised land without being mentored by someone along the way. And if you can embrace that early on and you're willing to pay a little something for it, whatever you can afford. So it's relative to where you are in life, but to get around the people that can help you make less mistakes and add value to your life. It could be in the form of a teacher, an internship, volunteering to be a barback. You want to be a bartender? All right. What's quicker? Going to school to learn to bartend, which you have to do, don't get me wrong, or spending a night behind a busy bar as a barback. You're probably going to get more knowledge in that one night behind a busy bar than you are in 3 or 4 or 5 weeks training to be a bartender. Maybe not the best example, but again, it's putting yourself in that situation.
You know, I tell people, like, you know, everybody in the restaurant should hold a food handler certificate, right? What's a food handler certificate? It allows you to understand why and how you protect people from getting sick. You understand? And the Board of Health only requires one per restaurant. And mine is in every restaurant consulting job I do. I says, you make sure everybody in this restaurant has a food handler certificate.
Right.
Because then they're going to make those little mistakes go away because they already know.
Right.
You know, and then a lot of times you have to refresh because I tell them, you have a food handler certificate? Why did you just touch that with your hand? You know better.
Right.
And they'll look at you like, it's because I remember that you could just contaminated something, you know, and then they start, oh my God. And I would say my personal advice is the food handlers protection course is free online.
Right.
Anybody and everybody watching this, even if you're not in the hospitality business, you should take that course and it's free.
Right.
You will learn so much about how to protect yourself from bacteria, diseases, and sickness. You remember growing up that mommy would always leave the rice outside on top of the pot and you could eat whatever you want. One of the things in the food handlers course is you leave rice out and the temperature goes up and that rice is just building bacteria every hour after hour. And you get sick just from rice that nobody even knows.
Right.
So I said, listen, it's a very important course. But let me tell you a funny story about the Kardashians. It's the coolest story in the world.
I almost forgot about that one, but I wasn't going to let you off the hook without closing out with that story.
So Gabi used to, a good friend of mine, he's a music producer, cool dude from the Bronx. He managed Diego Calderon. And one time he was managing French Montana. And he comes to the restaurant and he says, I want to do a party for Khloe Kardashian. At the time, they were dating. Meantime, in my mind, whatever, it's French Montana. I'm not thinking about Khloe. Who's Khloe? Like Kardashian. Right. So we set it up. We pick her up. We pick them up on the east side on the yacht. And we drive the yacht back up. And Khloe and French, and we're just sitting there. We're driving the yacht, and she's driving, and he's driving. At one point, we almost hit a rock because we were just talking, whatever, whatever. And we pull up in the restaurant at City Island, and we dock the yacht. And as we're pulling up, there's boats underwater with cameramen and everybody else. And I'm like, who is this woman? Like, Khloe Kardashian. Like, I'm oblivious to like
Frenchie.
I'm thinking more French is French, but Khloe Kardashian. No, who's the big deal? Lo and behold, the whole Kardashian family's inside the restaurant waiting for her to come in on the surprise birthday or a birthday party that he threw for her, and he gave her a Jeep, and Diddy came, and I think Diddy, J-Lo, so many people. It was such a T.I. came. It was like, what a party. And I'm like, meantime, I'm hosting Khloe's birthday party for the most famous family in America, the Kardashians, right, in the Bronx, on City Island. I'm like, wow. Then when you think about it today, back then it's like, who cares? Right. I'm talking to the wife, I'm talking to him, I'm talking to him. What's the big deal?
Right.
You know, but it's just one of those moments that, you know, who people perceive them to be and who they are in actuality when you're breaking bread and having a drink and
getting to know them. As human beings.
There you go. And one of the things that I, you know, looking at a situation like that, you know, I'll give free advice. This is one free for all the nightclub owners out there and lounge owners. Don't have the wrong person at the door. You have the wrong person at the door, you create the wrong perception at the door. That's the first impression. You're supposed to be a doormat host.
Right.
You're supposed to make it a memorable experience when people come in. Nicest person in the world. Guy, girl, at the front door, it doesn't matter. As long as that approach and everything is wonderful, that's the first thing people are going to remember. You want to have somebody stand behind that person just to stand, that's fine. Don't put the wrong person at the door because that's the wrong thing in the world. I mean, it is. If that's what you want, that's what you do. That's, you know, it's amazing how, you know, people don't learn. Just the first person at the door is the one that sets the tone for your business, you know, and it's sad.
So listen, I again want to just say thank you for sitting down with us on location, making the time, telling us all these great stories. I do once again, though, want you to reiterate the importance of mentorship and how you're now playing that role in your industry and also in your community. And how people can find you if they're interested in getting your services.
Well, I mean, you know, you have to be a positive individual every day. And that positivity allows you to share that love and knowledge with other people. You know, you can't cramp up because people look at you one way or another, you know, in what you do, how you deliver things and your approach to things. So every day you're a walking example. You know, and I tell people, I put positive messages on my Instagram, right. Jimmy Sofrito. You know, I've been doing that for a long time. I put food pics. I'm gluten-free. I eat very well. I eat very clean. And I'm all about positive messages every single day.
I appreciate that. You're a glass half full guy. I can't wait to see what the future holds. You know, I'm getting to know you now, but I'm excited to see what this next chapter brings. Because if you're doing life right, you're getting better with age. And it's obvious that with over 40 years of experience, you know what you're doing. And I can't wait to see what this next chapter brings, brother. And I love to be a part of it.
I'm excited.
Appreciate you as always, brother. My brother. Thank you so much for sitting down. Thank you as always for tuning into the Real Mentors podcast. Thank you again to our guest, Jimmy Rodriguez. You can find him on Instagram, Sobro Garden, Jimmy's Bronx Cafe, and stay tuned because, as he said, we're just getting started, baby. Let's get it. As always, we'll have all the information below. Make sure to stay tuned to the Real Mentors podcast.